stand with me all over the building and locate John chapter number 12. Next week is Resurrection Sunday. How many know that? Hallelujah. And we may attempt, I know I've been thinking about the idea of having a breakfast before. It seems like we have food a lot, don't we? How many enjoy eating? Someone said, look up fellowship in the dictionary and you'll have food, you know, just when you get together. But we're contemplating having maybe a fellowship breakfast just about an hour before Sunday school next week. But we'll firm those plans up. Let me know your expression, whether or not you're willing to do that or want to do that, and we'll see if we can plan that out. All right. What is today? Thank you. What is it? Palm Sunday. Notice John chapter 12. I want to read verse 1, then skip down to verse 11. I want to, first of all, by reading verse number 1, identify the timing of this event. Verse 1, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And we see in these next verses that Mary anoints Lazarus, or Jesus' feet, and Lazarus is also present there. Verse number 11, it says, because that by reason of him, Lazarus, much people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, what did they do? Verse 13, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried what? Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, verse 15, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Can you reach your hands this way? And let's agree together in prayer that God will just have his way in this message. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. Have your way, minister by your power. Lord, do the work that only you can do. We acknowledge you in all of our ways this morning. Lord, in the way of our church, in the way of this message, in the way of, Lord, the needs we have in our life spiritually, the need for your word in our life. Lord, may you supply that need through this message right now. We just glorify you for a wonderful plan of salvation. Thank you for the cross of Calvary and precious blood that was shed in our behalf, that we could go free, that we could be saved this morning, that we could have heaven when this life is over. Father, I'm praising you in advance for what you're going to do. Thank you for what you've already done. But Lord, thank you this morning for what you're going to do. Thank you for each person that's come out to your house, every song sung, everything that's done so far. But Lord, right now we just break and destroy every yoke and every bond. We rise above every hindrance that would stop this message from going forward and doing the work, Lord, that you intended for it to do. I just praise you right now. I know you're able. I know you're willing. Your power is sufficient. Glory to God. And Lord, you said where two or three were gathered together in your name, Lord, you promised that you would be here in the midst. And Lord, today I know and believe that you are here with us. You're here to bless. You're here to encourage. You're here to uplift. You're here to do that work that only you can do. Praise you, sweet Jesus. Just have your way this morning. Be glorified through this service. Hallelujah. Church, just lift your hands and praise him. Just one more time. Praise him. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Open your mouth wide and praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you this morning, Lord. We praise you this morning. You're worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shake someone's hand before you are seated. Say, it's good to see you in the Lord's house this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometime, as the Lord wills, I would love for us to look into having a teaching series on the various feast days as described in the Old Testament and what they represent. You know, we've got an eternal God knowing his plan from the very beginning that orchestrated all things through the Bible to point us to one place. And how many understand that one place is the cross of Calvary and where precious blood was shed for us to be saved. And when I think of Passover, I think of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It was the commemoration of Israel being delivered out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt as the death angel passed over the homes in which the blood was applied to the door. Say amen. But they took that lamb and they kept it up until a certain period of time. And there they offered that lamb, applying the blood to the doorpost. And friends, I want you to know the Lamb of God is in this house. And His blood is applied to this house. And I know that when the wrath of God, hallelujah, it's going to pass over me. You know why? Because I'm a believer today. I'm not just a believer, but I'm a walker and I'm a talker. I believe all that the Word of God says. Now, there are three feast days of the seven major feast days in which every person in Israel, if it was within their ability, they were to appear before the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem. And these three feast days was the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Passover, and the Feast of Tabernacles. During the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm jumping ahead of myself just a little bit, but it's going to come back around. And don't have to turn, but it's in Leviticus chapter number 23. They were to rejoice for 7 days, and part of that, they were to cut palm branches. Now, I don't fully understand the significance of a palm branch over any other type of branch, but it did mean something. And we see on this day in which Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, palm branches were significant because they lifted them up, they waved them, they throwed them in the road, they put garments in the road. We could put all the Gospels together and try to paint a picture of the events that occurred. But somehow, some way, that palm branch represented something. And this morning, just for the sake of simplicity, I believe the palm branch represented worship. How many believe that we need to worship Him today? I believe you need to worship Him every day. Don't get me wrong. But we're getting ready to have a running start to celebrate His resurrection. We're getting a running start to remember the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And I tell you what, I can lift up my hands. May not be a palm branch today, but I'm lifting them up in worship and recognition that He's my Lord and that He's my Savior. And when He came here 2,000 years ago, He didn't necessarily come at that advent as King of Kings, but He came as the Lamb of God. He came humbly on a colt, not on a white horse as He's going to one day, but He came humbly in order to die on a cross that me and you could assemble in a church house on the side of 127 in southern Casey County and feel what we feel this morning and know and be reassured of our salvation and our walk with God, that one day when all this is done and the trumpet sounds, gravity will let go. Because friends, I want you to know gravity ain't got nothing on me. I've got a Lord, hallelujah, that's going to meet me in the air. When that trump sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be changed and we're going to assemble together. Are you ready for this? Forever to be with the Lord. Never to be separated, never to be parted again. So why don't you just raise that palm branch right now and wave it before the Lord? Why don't you tell Jesus that you love Him today and you're thankful for what He done in that He took your place. He became your substitution. He bore your sin. All the anger and the wrath of God that deservedly should be ours today was absorbed by a wonderful Savior on the cross who took our place. Just like Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22 when they were on the mount and Abraham was ready to offer Isaac, God provided a ram in the thickest in His stead. Friends, I deserve to be there, but in my stead, God provided a sacrifice. And not just any sacrifice, not just some dumb animal. Someone say, praise the Lord. But a willing sacrifice who said, I'll lay it down for you. I'll take your place. Y'all should have shouted right then. Really, you should have. Should have shouted all over the house right then. Glory to God. I should have been there. You should have been there. But He took our place. But here they were on the sides of the road. Hallelujah. Here comes their king. Turn to Zechariah chapter number 9. Hallelujah. How many feel this other than me tonight, or this morning? This is better than soup, beans, and cornbread. Hallelujah. And those of you who know me, I like soup, beans, and cornbread. A little fried potatoes and some greens. This is better. Because I'm pulling up to the table of the King. Glory to God. My goodness, I feel a liberty in this house this morning. The Lord is here. Praise you, Jesus. It's a day of worship. You know, it's an amazing fact. There, 6 days before Passover, they welcomed him into Jerusalem. And if we can put the Gospels together from the descent of the Mount of Olives, the Scripture says, as he began there, he rode down the Mount of Olives through the streets of Jerusalem by the city of Bethany into the city of Jerusalem and had a welcome. He then went into the temple. And how many know what he done when he got to the temple? To the money changers and those that had turned his house of prayer into a den of thieves, as he took a cord of whips and he overturned the tables and he ran them out of his house. I want you to know, friends, one day, are y'all ready? According to Zechariah chapter number 14. I want you to find Zechariah chapter number 9. But Zechariah 14 says, in that day the Lord's foot would touch the Mount of Olives and it would cleave in the midst and there would be a valley there. And I want you to know the Lord would come and all the saints with him. Friends, I believe there's coming a time when Jesus is coming back on a white horse. And he's going to start there at the Mount of Olives and go into Jerusalem and burn that man of sin off of that throne. Come on, there's a lot there. He'll cleanse the temple for sure that day. Zechariah 9, verse number 9, rejoice greatly. The directive of God here, as he's getting ready to foretell of an event that Jesus would do, understand Zechariah was about 550 years B.C., before Christ, foretelling the point of the king coming in on a colt. Now, why is it significant that Jesus rode in on a donkey and that this event occurred before? What's the significance of that? I want you to chew on that. Let's look at verse number 9. He's saying, in conjunction with the introduction of your lowly king, Jerusalem, that's Zion, you need to rejoice greatly. Help me understand what it means when Jesus comes into your midst. Let me know that where two or three are gathered together in His name, the Bible says He is in the midst. I believe He's here. I know He's here. I feel He's here. I'm reassured He's here. And the Bible says He's here. How many are gathered together here in the name of the Lord this morning? Wave at me. I tell you what, that's positive proof. Hands raised up that the Lord is here. And if He's here, we need to do what He recommended us to do. And that is rejoice greatly. I feel the lowly Savior this morning running through and coursing through the avenues of my soul. I know Jesus in the free pardon of my sin. And He tells me here, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold thy King. Capital K. Cometh unto thee. He is just. Hallelujah. I could preach for 5 hours right now. He is just. How many believe Jesus is just? How many have exonerated God in your life? How many have acquitted Him of anything bad? You know, some people blame God or accuse God or say, Lord, if this, if that. I find Him guiltless today. I find Him still the perfect, wonderful Son of God. I'm just like the thief in one respect. I could testify He's never done nothing amiss. And I could tell you like Herod, there's nothing wrong with this man. He's done nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Friends, I find Him not guilty today. He's just. Let me continue. And having salvation lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Verse 10 says, His kingdom is going to be from sea to sea and cover the entire earth. Verse 11, I've always got to include this when I read these verses. Are y'all reading verse 11 with me? I don't hear a lot of preachers preaching verse 11. I hear them preaching verse 9, but never verse 11. As for thee also, hallelujah. One of the most powerful verses in Scripture, I believe, I really do. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. If you're still stuck in the dry pit of sin, I want you to know there is blood in this covenant that'll deliver you from that mess. If you're not walking with Jesus today and you're not in fellowship with Him, someone say praise the Lord. The means by which you can re-enter the fellowship of God and get out of the pit is there. If you're in the rut in life, friends, and how many understand life gives us ruts? Jesus wants to put you in a good, moist, wet place instead of that dry place. Someone say praise the Lord. Revelation 7. Hallelujah. This is the last place I'm going to ask you to turn this morning. I usually work you all real good. How many understand that? And us only turning to three different places in the Bible is sort of a... That's below par for me. Say amen. If we don't turn to at least 10 places, I don't think I preached. Revelation chapter number 7. A Bible scholar by the name of Bernard made the note, notes that carrying palms was a mark of triumphant homage to a victor or king. It's interesting that even today that palm trees grow there on the Mount of Olives on the road from Bethany to Jerusalem, which was the road Jesus took. So the crowds that were there had easy access to these palm branches. Are y'all with me? But I like how he said that carrying these palms and doing whatever with them was a mark of triumphal homage to a victor or a king. Now, how many here believe the Bible, understand the ramifications of eternity, and know the fact that we're in the Bible, and know that one of these days, the final battle will be fought? And you've already looked over at the end of the book. You understand that when everything is done and everything is settled, you know who the victor is, and you have yoked up with him. Everybody likes a winner. Guarantee you after some sporting team wins a championship, they have more fans. Amen. Well, friends, I want you to know I'm an ultimate fan of Jesus. I've decided, hallelujah, and you know the thing about that is I'll never be a loser. Revelation 7. Describing what John saw in this vision. And I'm just going to be a few more minutes and I'm going to close. I do encourage you, hang around after service and have a bite to eat with us and just enjoy fellowship and time together. Verse 9, it says, after this I beheld. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Am I there? Am I in the correct place? And lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. This diverse multitude stood before the throne and before the Lamb. And notice describing them, how are they clothed? Clothed with what? White robes and palms. That's palm branches. I know we've got a palm in our hand, but that's palm branches in their hands. So picture this in heaven. All nations of every sort, of every variety, of every color. Amen. Every nationality, glory to God. I think if I were to translate this into the modern vernacular, Brother Russell, I'll say of all Bible-believing denominations, I could throw that in there, I believe, and not err in the spirit of what it's saying. Are y'all with me today? And some of these folks think that their little denomination, their little group headquarters somewhere on this earth, are going to be the only one making it to heaven. Friends, you're going in for a rude awakening. Hallelujah. It ain't us four no more. But they have a diverse group. They're around the throne of God, and they've got palms in their hands. Now, how many can picture this? Amen. Waving them. And again, I don't know some of the significance of the palm. I know the Bible said the righteous shall flourish as a palm tree. And one person done a study and found however many dozens of different uses the palm is for. It grows up tall. It grows up straight. How many believe that's what we need to do? But a palm tree is unique and different from a lot of other trees. Amen. But whatever it represents this morning in simplicity, it means worship. This multitude was around the throne of God, and what were they doing? They were worshiping God. Now notice this. Let's keep reading. What did they do? And they cried with a loud voice. How many believe we can get loud in church? Are y'all with me today? Some people think they're in a funeral home. This ain't a funeral home. Funeral homes where dead things are. Dunville Church of God ain't dead. I'm not dead, and I can't speak about you, but I'm not dead. How many live folks we got here? I believe if there's somebody live, there's going to be some noise coming out of them some way or another. Amen. Grunt or growl or something, bark or something. Let's make some noise. But with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb, and all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces. Worship. What did they do? And worshiped God. And again, what did they have in their hand? They had this palm branch in their hand, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. I want you to read verse 12 with me. And as we read it, I want you to attribute all these things to your God, saying, amen. Read it with me. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Just lift your hands and praise Him in this place this morning. He is worthy. Lord, we lift up the palm branch of our heart. We magnify You this morning, for You and You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. You are worthy. You are worthy to receive all. You own it all. You own the cattle on a thousand hills. You own the hills. You own it all this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, I recall David. When he brought the ark back into Jerusalem, he done what? He danced before the Lord with all of his might, regardless of what people thought. He took off that kingly robe and he put on that linen ephod that the priest wore. And I want you to know, he didn't care what nobody thought, and his wife thought he defiled himself and made himself vile looking in front of his subject. But David said, I'm going to get more vile than this. Hallelujah. How many believe we need to just sort of let our hair down? We need to quit worrying about the opinions of other people and just worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas were in a Philippian jail at midnight. Now, I'm not encouraging you to disturb your neighbors at midnight, okay? I'm not encouraging you to do that. So if you get disturbing the peace, call the police at 12 in the morning because you're praising God and your neighbors are complaining, don't say the preacher told you to. But I don't think Paul and Silas were concerned about keeping the other prisoners awake. They had something to praise God for. You know what they're praising God for? I believe just Jesus, because their backs had just been beat. They were treating like hardened criminals and putting maximum security. It says put them in the innermost jail, innermost chamber. Amen. How many believe they still had something to praise God for? I believe they did. I believe they did. And that's what we're doing today. We're praising God. This is a day of worship. And I just want you to gear your mind up. I want you to, you know, Jesus says He seen Passion Week coming. He focused His eyes on Jerusalem. He knew the task before Him. And as that got closer and closer and that task became more real, how many understood He had to find the refuge of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane as He prayed for God to help Him, knowing what He was going to face? For me and you. Sister Betty, will you come to the piano this morning? And friends, I believe we've got a safety, a refuge in prayer, if we'll run into it and be safe. Jesus loves you. How many are thankful Jesus loves me, loves you, in spite of me and you? Aren't you thankful for that today? Aren't you thankful for that? Let's stand to our feet all over the building. And I tell you what, let's do. Let's just raise up palm hands, palm branch hands to heaven and just wave them before Him. And why don't you just worship the Lord right now in spirit and in truth and the beauty of holiness. Praise Him for what He's done. Praise Him for who He is. Adore Him. Magnify Him. Laud Him. Hallelujah. Jesus, we honor You this morning. We thank You this morning for Your hand extended. Father, I thank You this morning for our church and what we're feeling, Lord, in our services. Thank You for Your touch and presence. Thank You for Your overcoming power. We know that's available for each and every one of us. And Lord, this morning we just lift You up. We worship You. We praise You. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to come and gather around the altar here, but as we're just lifting up the Lord, I want to define for you real quick. One person said that praise was thanking God for what He's done for you, whereas worship is just praising Him for who He is. Will you do this right now? Don't ask the Lord for anything. I don't want you to ask the Lord for anything right now for a few moments. I just don't want you to magnify the Lord for who He is and His greatness and His goodness and His mercy. Lord, we just praise You for who You are. We praise You for who You are. Glory to God. I praise You for who You are. I praise You for who You are. Lord, I thank You for who You are. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. We just worship You today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, if you have a need in your life, if you need a touch in your body, if you need healing, if you're burdened for someone this morning, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, talking to each person in this building, I'm talking to our young people today. If you're not ready to meet Jesus, I want you to know you got a wonderful, lowly Savior that rode into Jerusalem. Rode into Jerusalem 6 days before He laid down His life on the cross for me and you to be saved. And He's saying, come unto Me, all you that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and I will give you rest for your soul. He offers you salvation today. He's offering you healing today. He's offering you deliverance today. He's offering you peace and satisfaction today. Whatever your need is, without hesitation right now, everyone that would, let's come and gather around the altar, find a place and pray. Call upon Jesus right now. Everyone, let's find a place and pray.